to Matthew. Matthew 6, verse 33. Today's title is Having Divine Priorities. We've been talking about priorities. We've been talking about priorities that are centralized around our time and what we do with our time. We've talked about how Satan wants us to waste this time on stuff that is extraneous to the things of the kingdom. But God's desire is for His people to get on board. We also saw in 2 Corinthians 5:19 where it talks about first the physical, then dealing with the spiritual. If our physical lives are still out of whack, our spiritual lives only reflect that whackedness, if that's a word. And we have to be truthful and honest with ourselves as to where we are and what our priorities are. And if it is not the kingdom, then we need to adjust our priorities. Amen? Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Say it with me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His rich in His righteousness. Right. Obviously, you guys don't read your scriptures. Because I had to say it twice. Well, you didn't say, "Oh, wait a minute, Pastor." Obviously, it was a test. Obviously, we failed. Obviously, our priorities are out of whack. If it's obvious to me, it's got to be obvious to you. Amen? It's always a test. And some of the things that we got to really realize is that for us who name the name of Jesus Christ, who call ourselves Christians, it is no longer Christianity as we know it. By that I mean that if you are more reflecting what the world means and how you conduct your life like the world, then I wonder if you are even a Christian. If you are gradually changing, gradually moving from the world, setting the standards of the kingdom, I would say you're well on the way of reflecting Jesus Christ. It all deals with our priorities. If our priorities is centered about me, myself, and Irene, and not Jesus Christ and His kingdom only, we have a problem. Don't we? Because it has to be Him first. Jesus tells us, if you love mother, father, sister, uncle, job, Hannah Montana, more than me, you're not worthy of the kingdom. So I added to it. I believe that as Christians, we've only heard half the gospel. We've heard the way of salvation. We've heard about God's love. We've heard about His mercy for our sin. We've heard all that. And we have treaded upon His mercy and His grace because we're still out of whack. Our priorities are not changing. What we're doing is abusing God's mercy and grace. And we are tempting Him to judge us. Judgment starts where? In the house of the Lord. And He is not going to wait till we get there to be judged. He will judge us to clean His house because He wants His people to be successful. He wants His people to reflect the kingdom and the abundance that He has and the abundant life that He has promised us. But why are we so satisfied with the crumbs of the world? Why are we so satisfied in manipulating and control of relationships? Why are we so satisfied in thinking of ourselves less than how God thinks of us? And I believe it's two things. We believe the lie, and we don't believe the truth. It's just that simple. I believe that if Jesus stripped away all the glitter and panache and he has opened up our blind eyes to the truth, I believe that we just don't have faith in the truth. We don't believe that he has destined us to rule and reign in our lives. And what we do is we abdicate day in and day out this abdication of our lives. And last week I talked about two danger points that we have. To live a life with misguided priorities or to live a life without priorities whatsoever. And for us as kingdom people, it must be only one priority and one priority only. And that is what? His kingdom. His righteousness. You see, it's not two things there. It's one and the same. You can't separate him from his kingdom, and you can't separate the kingdom from his righteousness. And we all came to a point last week where we would come up and pray to get this thing going. And it is your responsibility, because God has already seen that you do not want to live the life less than what Jesus has promised for you. You want to live the abundant life, the promised life. And that all requires of us to really allow the Holy Spirit to examine us in a way that would challenge our priorities. Satan has been busy causing us to major on the minors and minor on the majors. He has thrown curveballs into our lives to create worry, confusion, and to easily distract us from what our focus should be on. He has caused us to become satisfied in the chaotic lifestyles that we have, not to allow the Lord to bring order and peace into our homes and into our hearts. The key to your success and my success is finally realizing that we should have only one priority and one priority only, and that is His kingdom and His righteousness. There is no greater priority than to do this. And I say this from experience. Until I devoted myself, consecrated myself, until I gave myself to the Lord Jesus Christ totally, my life was falling apart so quickly. The more I tried to hold on to it, the further it was falling apart. And until I let go and let God, I didn't realize what success really meant. And I had a long way to come back. I had a terrible way to come back. To possess the divine is to stop thinking of living for a paycheck and start living for something greater than yourself. It's no longer looking to manipulate. It's no longer to control. It is no longer looking to meet your selfish needs. It is looking to meet the King's desires and fulfill what He wants done. It is totally living possessed by the kingdom as our sole priority. And only when God brings you to this place will you begin the adventure of the Spirit that He has promised us. Scripture says, you will find Him when you seek Him when you go to church. No. Okay, you guys are getting this now. You will find Him with a half a heart. Okay, Sharon, tell me how you're going to find Him. Tell me how you're going to find God. Seeking with your whole heart. I'm just quoting Scripture. Quoting Scripture. Yeah, you got to be in the Word. And you know what? Satan has done a hatchet job on us there. We have learned about God. We don't know God. And that is diametrically opposing to what is happening in the world today. The church is teaching about God, not telling people to experience God. in a new and powerful way. They are telling them to feel good about themselves and do all this stuff. When God is saying, deny yourself and follow me. You see, the problems that we have is we're following what we want to do, and then we blame God. And Satan has done a wonderful job in presenting this lie, and we swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. We were never created to serve two masters. And believe me, I tried this one too. I tried to have my cake and eat it too. I tried to make all the excuses of why I worked so much. But when I worked so much, I didn't have time for God. I had my bills being met. I had food on the table. I had all this, but I didn't have time for God. My priorities were misguided. Yeah, I had to take care of my family. I had to provide for my bills. I had to do this. I had to do that. But if I don't do it the way God wants it done, it's not getting done. I am paying a heftier price than what I am receiving. And what is it that I'm putting on the proverbial altar? What is it that you're putting on the altar so that you can maintain your selfish ambitions, your manipulating and controlling lifestyles, your backbiting and complaining, your resentment and bitterness? It is costing us something. And you have to understand, church, that as long as we stand in the kingdom of darkness, we are living a lie. We are existing. We are not living at all. And it is impossible, as long as we stay out of God's protection, stay out of His will, stay out of what He wants for us in life, to even think that we're going to be successful. I know, I've tried. And my success only came when I fully surrendered to Jesus Christ. Not half-heartedly, totally. Well, that's you, Pastor. No, that's what Jesus requires for all of us. I quoted the scripture earlier. If you love somebody more than me, you're not worthy of me or my kingdom. When we talk about the kingdom, and I look at your faces, and I see an attitude that's being put on your face, I sometimes wonder how cavalier we are in our approach to God, let alone applying His kingdom principles to our lives. Because this is about your life and your death, whether you understand it or not. And when we take a cavalier attitude that, you know, I got till tomorrow, I can do what I want, I have the right to do this, what you have said is, Jesus, I accept your invitation to salvation, but you're not going to be Lord. That's the truth. That's what you have done. I know. I did it. I did it. I played the game. I pretended. I was a pretender for a while there. And then I got blasted by the Holy Spirit and the pretensions went away. I got filled with visions. And I got filled and I spoke and walked with God. And He began to show me how to straighten out the mess that I created. And I'm here to tell you, God is not angry with you, but you cannot serve your appetites and serve the kingdom of God. It just can't happen. Serving yourself is causing you to have eternal consequences to your salvation, whether you understand this or not. And the position I take is you're only as saved as your relationship to Jesus Christ. You're here when you call on the name of Jesus Christ to be not only Savior, but Lord. And when you're serving other things before you serve God, it's telling me your priorities are out of whack. And God's trying to get you to understand that Satan is playing the proverbial head game with you to keep you from meeting the success that God promises you. He tells us through the prophets that His plans are good for us. His plans are to give us life and abundance. His plans are to prosper us. And that prosperity is one that our soul is so at rest that we don't have to work at it. It happens. And this is what the Scripture is all about. Because Jesus prefaced it by all the stuff the pagans look for. They're serving two masters. They're serving their appetites and they're serving the king of the demons. Who are we serving? What is our priorities? Yes, our priorities need to be taking care of our families, but the way God says to do it. Yes, we need to work as God places us. Yes, God wants us to increase in knowledge. He wants to educate us, not so that we're boneheaded brainiacs. He wants us to use that knowledge to influence in higher realms. That's His whole plan. To infiltrate and destroy the kingdom of darkness. And that is our job. The danger of maintaining a divided loyalty. How many times we've told people, you know what, I'm going to do something, and we never do it. How many times we promise people, you know what, I'll be there, I'll help you, I'll take care of you. You don't have to sweat it. And then we don't do it. How many times do we make excuses because our loyalties are divided? And then when we're brought into an account because of the promises that we said or the commitments we have made, we get bent out of shape because now we're brought into an account that we first didn't intend to do, and second, we never counted the cost. And we display this anger and rage because we got our fingers caught in the cookie jar. And it never seems, when God tests us, it never seems to be the most opportune time. Does it? Stuff breaks down when you need to be someplace. People call up when you want to have some rest. You know what? You want to go out and have fun. And an emergency arises. Don't think this is the devil. This is God testing your priorities. And if those priorities are second to what God wants done, you don't have to sweat the small stuff. But if your priorities are ahead of what He wants done, guess what? He is going to test you and test you and test you because He tells us that the reason why He sends us into the desert was to test our hearts. And if you're in the desert and you're in a dry place, God is testing your heart. He wants to know what your loyalties are. He wants to know where you stand. And it is not Satan who's doing this. It is God. Because you laid claim to a name that is above all names. And now you're a citizen of His kingdom. What happens when Satan distracts us? We lose our focus. We get in trouble. We're disobedient to what God wants us to do. But I'm here to tell you, Satan does not want you to come to the realization of the truth of who you are. He wants to keep you ignorant. He wants you to think of yourself as a worm. He wants you to believe the lie. He wants you to miss opportunities. He wants to because He stands before the Father ever making accusation about, look at Sean, look what kind of worm he is. He's missed this, he's missed that, and missed that. And God looks to Jesus and Jesus says, I paid that price, Father. I paid it. So why are we so down? If He's paid it, it must come to the fact that we don't believe it. And we still maintain the priorities as though we don't believe it. Many come to Jesus for what they can get from Him, not what they can serve Him by. Until we are willing to lay everything down, we will not be used by God. Everything must be laid down. Even our children. Our children are not ours. They are on loan to us. Our responsibility as parents is to train them up in the admonition of the Lord. What that means is, it is my responsibility and my wife's responsibility to train my children as weapons for God's glory. To be kings and priests. Are you doing the same? Or are you just training them? Training them. You have to see that there's a greater purpose to our lives. And as long as our priorities are stuck on my wants, my desires, and what I feel I can do to get other people to do for me, instead of, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? I had to come to that realization. I had to come to understand that there is something greater. I got served for a destiny. I didn't like the destiny. I fought my destiny. And Irene will tell you, I fought, I made excuses, I apologized for who I am in Jesus Christ until one day I realized I have nothing to apologize for. I have nothing to be ashamed of. This is what the Most High God has called me to be. And so guess what? I went with a whole heart. I'm human just like everyone else. I'm not perfect. And I'm on my knees repenting, asking for forgiveness continuously. And if there's hope from this lost soul, there is definitely hope for you guys. There is. And God wants you to see, throw away all the junk. Throw away. It is only to keep you from your destiny. And that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to throw away your destiny. We're told in Scripture, make sure your election is sure. For it is a costly prize. In other words, Christ paid something valuable for you and for me. And to just throw it away on what we want here is impossible. Jesus is not giving us an option. He demands to be first, and He commands it. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And He is not apologizing for His position. And we carry on with such a cavalier attitude about our Christianity that it's a wonder that we're even still in existence, because in a twinkling of an eye, He could wipe us off the face of the map. Jesus isn't the least ambiguous about the cost that we're going to pay. I put it succinctly, I just say it's going to cost you everything you have and everything you own. And everything that you are. It's total. Matthew 10:32 says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me before men, I will disown before my Father. Disown! Not even acknowledge that you are part of the kingship of heaven. I'm a believer. But why are you still doing the same things that you know God has told you not to do? Oh, well, you know, you're judging me. Get off it. Get off it. My scriptures tell me I am to judge in the house of God. My job is to bishop your souls, to make you come to the conviction of the Holy Spirit that what you're doing is wrong. Don't you know that you are of the noblest blood on the face of this earth? The noblest, the highest. You are to rule and reign as kings and priests in God's kingdom. You are. And yet, we sit there thinking that we can do whatever we want. Our actions tell us and tells everyone around us who we are. Our priorities tell everyone and tells us what is the most important thing in our lives. And if it is not Jesus Christ and furthering His kingdom, then your priorities are wrong. It's just that simple. He says it. I didn't say it. Because we're denying Him. And He's far more valuable than anything in this planet. Revelation 3, 15 and 16 says, I know your deeds. They are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. It's not enough to name the name of Jesus. It's not enough to call ourselves Christians. It is not enough to pretend any longer. It is really becoming that which God has created you to be. I need you to be that which God has created you to be. I need you. He needs you. And that means your priorities have to come into right standing with Him. I can't emphasize it anymore. You are making choices that will either be detrimental to your well-being and salvation, or you are making decisions that will further your life and having the abundance and peace that God has promised you. We can either stay in our cages and pretend that everything's fine and sing a dirge and, oh, you know, we're this. Or we can be about Father's business. Joshua said it. It's for me and my house. We're serving God. We're going on. We know what our job is. Our job is to go and take the land. We know we're going to take it and we're going to keep it. And the land starts here with me. If you're not getting right with God, you will never have anything outside of you right. Hear me clearly. If your relationship to Jesus Christ is suffering because your priorities are out of whack, don't expect that all your relationships outside to come into play and be right. They will not. They will not. We're deceiving ourselves. We're deluding ourselves. We can no longer live passive and think that we're okay. Look at those scriptures. Meditate on those scriptures and see where you are. Look at Luke 9, verses 59-62. This is a great example of what priorities are and how they're out of whack. Lord, let me go bury the dead. Lord, let me go do this. Lord, let me do that. And what did Jesus say? Go ahead. Go do your thing. You're not worthy of the kingdom. Oh, I just need a boyfriend. I just need a girlfriend. No, you need Jesus. You need Jesus to consume you. You need Jesus to lay a hold of you and show you something greater than you of yourself and your own little pity parties that you're having. Jesus wants to use you. Oh, but you know what? These are my gifts and talents. No, He gave them to you. They are on loan to you. He's not going to take them back. But I'll tell you what, it hurts Him when you are not using your gifts and talents for the glory of God to expand His kingdom. And that's the truth. You may be sitting there, God, you're just beating me up today, Pastor. You just beat me up. There is no greater priority in our lives than allowing the kingdom of God to simplify them and bring us into right standing with God. He owns you. He owns me. He owns everything that you have and I have. It is His. He is King. We are just stewards of everything that He gives to us. Have you been a good steward of the temple of the Holy Spirit? What's the temple of the Holy Spirit? Your body. Your body. Have you been a good steward of your mind? Or are you being consumed with all the junk of the world? Have you been a good steward of everything that He's put into your hands to further His kingdom? Or are you willy-nilly about it? There is nothing too heinous that you have done that God cannot deliver you from and forgive you. Nothing. All He requires of you is to surrender your all to Him. The moment you surrender your all to Him is the moment that the Holy Spirit will breathe upon you and fill you to equip you for the work that He has for you. No one can do the job that He has designed for you. The job is not going to get done unless you stand up and start working at the job. God is able. But what He is telling us is that our priorities need to be chucked. And we need to align ourselves with the divine priority, seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things will be given unto you. God loves you, and His highest joy, as Jesus said, is for Him to give His children the kingdom. The highest joy. And it breaks His heart when we settle for less than what God wants to give to us. It breaks His heart when He is trying to get through us to understand He has something more important. It is my job as your pastor to tell you the truth. And the truth is, there is nothing separating you from the love of God except your sin. And the sin that we carry is misguided priorities or no priorities. The most important thing in our lives should be our relationship to Jesus Christ. And until I came to that place, and until I surrendered myself to that knowledge, I was same old, same old. I was dry bones. But when I surrendered, God breathed upon me. And Irene can tell you the stories. She'll tell you. I haven't been right since. Or actually, I have become right since that time. I encourage you. I want you to understand that all you have to do is repent of your slothfulness, repent of your misguided priorities or even lack of priorities, and begin to set in motion the principles of the kingdom. You've heard the principles. I've explained the principles to you. It's up to you to implement them for your success. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for Your Word. I thank You, God, that You are not angry, and I pray that my zeal for You and Your kingdom, God, would not be construed as such. Father, I love Your people. I want to see them succeed, God. I want them to understand that is Your heart's desire, is to bless them and not curse them. God, as that old song is, I surrender all, would be our theme, God. That as we're hungry, God, You tell us to come and sup. You tell us to drink deeply, Lord God. Waters that will not cost us anything. The waters are pure. And that which what we eat, Father, would be of the highest and best quality, because it feeds our spirit. God, I pray for Your people. I pray, God, that we would align as we move forward, God, as we move on, that it's going to require our commitment. Our highest commitment, not our lowest commitment, our highest commitment to take this town for Your glory, God. Holy Spirit, bring the conviction in the areas. And I pray that you do not stop bringing that conviction to those who have heard Your voice and have said, I got tomorrow, or just don't want to even pay attention to. It is important. It is that important that we be obedient totally to Your will. I ask that as we go forth today, God, that You would rule and reign, that Your words today would ring true in our spirits, and we would make and take the first steps of commitment of having divine priorities into our lives. I thank You again in Jesus' name. Amen.